We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Today, the subject for discussion is the Second Coming of Christ, a subject that has caused much speculation by religious teachers. Some of the most fantastic theories concerning the Lord's Second Advent have been advocated by religious would-be prophets. However, the Second Coming of Christ is the one hope and promise that fills the Christian's life. The Bible abounds with clear and specific teaching regarding the things we should know about His Second Coming. Speculation about His coming is foolishness. First, we inquire, what assurance do we have of the Second Coming of Christ? 1. Jesus is coming again because He promised to return. In John 14:1-3, our Lord declared, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." "I will come again," was His solemn promise. We have the full assurance that He will come again, just as much so as we believe that He came the first time. He made His first advent from heaven, which was proven and established beyond any shadow of doubt. The same established evidence gives full assurance of His second coming. Secondly, Christ is coming again because the apostles, who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, declared that He would come again. In Hebrews 9:28, the apostle affirmed that Christ would appear the second time. Again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, Paul testified that Jesus would come. This is what he said, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired of all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." End of quotation. 3. Jesus is coming again because the angels testified of His return. After our Lord had arisen from the dead, on the day He was taken up in a cloud, the angels of God stood by the apostles and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." End of quotation. These messengers of God from the unseen world gave full assurance of the Lord's return. Surely, He is coming again. Now, question. Why is Jesus coming again? This question has provoked much speculation and guesswork. Date after date has been set for His return by false teachers. Today, you hear much about the immediate return of the Lord and His reign upon the earth. Do not be misled by such false teachers. There isn't a preacher on the radio, nor one to be found in any pulpit in the land, that knows one thing about when the Lord will return. False teachers usually tell us that the Lord is coming right away, and He's going to come back to this earth, and He's going to sit down right among the Jews in the troubled spot of the world, Jerusalem, and reign on earth 1,000 years. There's not a verse in all the Bible that even suggests that the Lord will ever set foot on this earth again, much less to reign on earth for 1,000 years from the city of Jerusalem. He is coming again, but not to this earth. Christians will be caught up to meet Him in the clouds and meet Him in the air, not on earth. The meeting, the Bible says, will be in the air. The Apostle Paul leaves no doubt about this matter. By inspiration, he declared, "Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. Now then, my friends, only God knows when the Lord will return. In Mark 13, verse 32, Jesus himself declared, are you listening? But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Only God the Father knows when Christ will come again. In this text, we are admonished by the Lord to watch, for we know not when he shall come again. We must watch and be prepared for his coming, whether it be today, tomorrow, or a million years from now. And that's the teaching of the Bible. Now, question, how will he come? How will the Lord come again? Some religious teachers in the past set dates for the Lord's return, and since Jesus did not come as they predicted, they decided to try to cover up their big mistake by declaring that Jesus really did come, and he is on earth today, but we just don't see him. Such men as Charles T. Russell and Judge Rutherford and others advocated this theory some 40 to 50 years ago. It is still taught today, and on the basis for many who relate their experiences and theories concerning the second advent of Christ. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it is revealed that Jesus will return in like manner as he went away in the clouds. He was taken up, the Bible says, and the cloud received him. Again in Revelation 1, verse 7, it is said that he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. The Bible says, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. End of quotation. How different from the modern theories you may hear today. He is coming in the clouds, and every eye shall see him, the Bible says. In view of this statement of inspiration, imagine the absurdity of the theory that he is already here, but we just don't see him. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is coming again, and everyone will know it. Now, why will Jesus come again? What is the purpose of his second coming? The Scriptures speak emphatically on this question. He is coming to raise the dead. Hear the apostle in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. From this scripture, it is evident that the dead in Christ will rise before the living, before they shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The dead in Christ shall rise first, that is, those who are still living will not precede those who are dead. The dead shall be raised, then all together be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. When this time comes, as referred to in this passage of Scripture, there can be no time for an earthly reign of Christ on earth. One could not possibly get 1,000 years or even one day in this time between his second coming and the judgment. When he comes, time will be no more. The day of preparation will have gone forever. When Jesus comes again, not only will the dead in Christ be resurrected, but all the dead will be raised. Christ declared in John 5, 28, 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, when all that are in their graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. When Jesus comes, he said, all will be resurrected from the dead at the same time, both the righteous and the unrighteous. The good, resurrected unto eternal life. The evil, resurrected unto eternal damnation. There is no such thing as a resurrection of the dead one time, who are righteous, and then the resurrection of the dead who are unrighteous at a different time, 1,000 years apart. Such is a false theory. Some religious speculators affirm that Christ will come back again, but is coming back to this earth and will make his landing in the city of Jerusalem, where he will set up his kingdom, the kingdom of David, and will reign over the earth from the city of Jerusalem for the period of 1,000 years. It is affirmed that Christ is coming to the city of Jerusalem, and all the Jews of all the nations will be gathered together in the city of Jerusalem and be saved and reign with Christ as their king for 1,000 years. Ladies and gentlemen, this is absolutely false. There's nothing in the Bible that even resembles such teaching as this. Not too long ago, I was in the city of Jerusalem, and I learned about a group of people there, perhaps a cult, who are purchasing or acquiring land in Jerusalem on which the Lord may land when he comes back. Can you imagine that? The Bible does not teach that Christ will ever set foot on this earth again. Yes, he is coming again, but not to this earth. He is coming again. But will the living and the dead be ready to receive him? The Bible says, they shall gather with him and be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You read about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. These fantastic ideas about the Lord's return to earth, the restoration of the Jews as a nation, and Christ's reign on earth 1,000 years, I repeat, is positively false. There is no statement in God's Word that even suggests such an arrangement. Such ideas are purely the figment of man's imaginations. Many people have been taken in, if you please, by these false prophets who would have them believe that they are experts on prophecy and they can tell you all about it. But ladies and gentlemen, this is false. Some would say there is a land promise, especially for the Jews, and the Lord is going to be right there and receive them and will reign with them 1,000 years on earth. Now, what about this promise? First, it is claimed that God made a certain promise to Abraham concerning his seed. He promised to give the land of Jerusalem to the Jews for a reign of peace on earth at Christ's second coming, they say. Now, I want to call your attention to some of these promises. God made three covenants with Abraham. The first was a land covenant. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 through 21, he said, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Again in Genesis 17 and verse 8, the Bible says, and I quote, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." End of quotation. These scriptures reveal the full import of God's promise to Abraham and his seed relating to their land of habitation. They had a very definite meaningfulness. Unfortunately, men today have perverted that meaningfulness and deceived many honest and sincere souls. Let us look at these promises in the light of what they meant when God spoke unto Abraham, not in the light of some man's imagination today. These promises of the land inheritance were renewed to Abraham's seed from time to time. Now the question is, were they fulfilled? Here is the answer. Are you listening? Joshua 21, verses 43-45. "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto his fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all the enemies before them, and the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." End of quotation. Did you understand that? God declared in his word, "The Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel," the Bible says. The Bible says, all came to pass. Joshua declared that all of these promises did come to pass. They're not to be fulfilled when Christ comes again. The Jews will not go back to Jerusalem and reign with Christ on earth. No Jew can hope for any future fulfillment of any promise made to Abraham or his seed prior to the emphatic statement of Joshua when he said, "All came to pass." What about these promises? They are conditional. The promises that God made to Abraham and the descendants were conditional. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 10, God, through the prophet, warned of certain things to happen if they did not obey. In the 19th chapter of the same prophecy, God declared to Israel, "Even so will I break this people, the Jewish nation, and this city, the city of Jerusalem, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again." This is God's word, spoken to the Jewish nation of Old Testament times. And God said, "Cannot be made whole again." In spite of this solemn warning and declaration by Jehovah God, men today predict falsely that the Jews will be gathered together in the city of Jerusalem for the Lord's return. Some say He will put all things together again and dwell in Jerusalem with Christ for 1,000 years. God says not so. Both cannot be right. One has uttered a falsehood. God did not declare the falsehood, ladies and gentlemen.